Need a boost? Kick it up to 11 with Chippy's Energy Fluid, with even more mystery chemicals than Red Bull and Monster combined.
Chippy's Energy Fluid.
Hydrofracali, calcium benzomegachloride, sodium flibbolferrithiothor.
Chippy's.
Zutafron H, liposuction remnants, magnesium glucothuridium.
Chippy's.
Uric acid, tetracyclocyanide. Chimp nuggets, triple aspartame.
Chippy's.
Sodium benzosodium, dehydrogenated cat knuckles, lactocaine.
Chippy's.
Vitamin X2, dextrobutajudge, clonopidium 16.
Chippies.
Glucocarcinoma, calcium bimethylipicine, caffeinated spider fingers.
Chippies.
Red dye number 12, fish nipple residue. Red dye number 27, hypergluten. Red dye number 74, tantric fluoride. And much, much more. Much, much more. Chippies Energy Fluid. Chippies Energy Fluid.
Drink the mystery.
Chippies.
You are listening to Questionable Material with Jack Helmuth and Brian Sack. This episode, Family Feud, news you missed, all Brian's other podcasts.
Have you watched any recent episode of Family Feud, the one hosted by Steve Harvey?
Steve Harvey. No, I remember the ones from the guy who hosted The Running Man.
Richard Dawson?
I believe so.
Okay.
I almost said Richard Dawkins, but that's completely different.
Yeah, that would be a different show. That might be a good show.
10 gods that don't exist.
Oh boy. So I was watching Family Feud with my family because mm-hmm. that's what, you know,
that's what you do. It's a family thing.
It is. And I don't want them to be at war with each other. So right. we came together and watched this thing. And the thing with the Family Feud with Harvey, with Steve Harvey is that they are kind of sexual.
Are they?
Yes, it is. It can be somewhat filthy for just a game show with families going against each other. It's like the question was, name a part of your body that your lover might lightly bite.
Okay.
Okay.
Sure.
So we're just talking about people biting each other's bodies. And so I'm watching this with my kids.
Right.
And my wife. And one of the guesses is your private parts.
Okay.
And my son goes, oh my God. Like literally this is now
wow.
him learning about
that's foreplay
and sex. Yes. Like why would you bite your,
right.
your lover's penis or vagina?
Right.
Why? And I mean, just, he literally, we're sitting there.
Son, some people are cannibals.
Yes, I would rather him think that than to have this conversation of like,
yeah,
oh my gosh.
So I guess it's not really a family TV show.
It isn't. And then they always just have these like euphemisms, like, you know, it'll be like, they'll have like for penis and the thing will come up and ding, it'll be my schlong dong.
Are you serious?
Absolutely. 100%
I'm
serious.
No Puritan by any stretch, but that just seems weird for Family Feud.
For Family Feud, it's always these, you know, you'll have to guess like, you know, name a part of your body that might be covered up with a swimsuit or
my something. Taint.
Exactly right.
Really?
Or it's say, you know, the guest will say, my breasts.
Okay.
Show me breasts. Ding. My tatas.
It's seriously?
I 1,000%.
Oh,
I promise.
It's so corny.
It's so corny. A little bit weird. And so it's a little bit weird watching that with my kids.
Yeah. Maybe it's not kids TV, I guess.
It isn't. But like now I have to explain why, you know.
Somebody would nibble on your nibbly bits.
Yeah. One yeah. of, but think about what the answers have to be. I mean, it's going to be right. earlobe and all that stuff. So you're talking, it's a foreplay thing.
Yeah. Lip, earlobe,
nipples.
Oh, nipples?
Nipples was like
yeah,
number
nipples,
three.
So of course,
you've got
yeah,
nipple. I mean, you have all these things, just sort of like a weird thing to, it was an accelerated discussion of sexuality with my 9-year-old boy.
Awkward.
Super awkward.
Wow, that's weird. I don't think it was like that back in the Dawkins days.
No, what?
Or the Dawson
or
days.
Or Dawson days.
It wasn't like that back in the Dawson days. You know I was on Family Feud, right?
What?
I was on Family Feud.
You were on Family, you and your family were on Family Feud?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Do you have a copy? Is it on the internet?
I have a VHS tape copy of me on Family Feud.
Oh my gosh, let's play a clip. Let's put the, hold on, let me put the tape into the VCR machine. Okay.
Hold on. It has to.
No, I know. It's, wow.
Tape. Okay, almost ready. Wow.
Oh boy.
This machine was $3,500 back in the day.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a lot of money. When did you buy your VCR?
Oh God, 2012.
Oh, Oh yeah, they should be like $70 at that point.
They're expensive.
Yeah, back in like 1982 when they first.
I went to Worst Buy.
Oh,
it was the Best Buy competitor chain. They're gone now. They're bankrupt.
Oh yeah,
they're fleecing customers.
I would imagine though that's a good way to stay in business for a long time.
Yeah, no, I worked briefly.
But were you a return customer?
Oh yeah, I was in their Schmucks Club. That's what they call it, Schmuck Points.
Boy, they were really in your face about it.
350,000 Schmuck Points.
Wow. Yeah. How did you collect? Like, what sort of products did you buy that collected you so many points?
Well, a VCR for one.
Uh-huh.
Dot matrix printer.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Tube televisions.
Uh-huh. Oh, is that your TV over here that weighs 300 pounds?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, by 12 inch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Corded telephones, as you can see all over the house.
Yeah, everywhere.
It's like strings of cords everywhere.
First of all, that's the Schmucks Club. You don't need this many phones in just a living room. Just usually one will suffice.
You know, they say that, but then this way you kind of feel like you're cordless because you can pick up one phone and then run to the next one and pick it up and you can move around the house. Oh, I see.
Well, that's the cordless thing is what's nice is that you can take it with you. But if you have corded phones all over a room, you also don't have to get up to get your phone.
Right. Well, you can just pick it up, walk over a little bit and then pick up the next phone and kind of leave this trail.
Oh, a trail. Of that way you can get yourself a cup of coffee.
Go to the bedroom or come back here. The problem is all the phones are then off the hook and they're just picking up all the ambient noises of my cat farm.
Yeah, how is the cat farm going, by the way? It's
pretty good. You know, a lot of litter boxes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So a big portion of the day is scooping.
I'm going to be honest with you. You know, I love you, but it does not smell good in here.
No, I know. I've been told that by the neighbors.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so the neighbors can smell it through the ceiling?
Yeah. And apparently they're well aware that you're not allowed to have a cat farm in your apartment.
God, New York City rules. No so co-op onerous. Board should be telling you can't have a cat farm.
I'm a libertarian and I'm telling you I'm going to have a cat farm in my apartment.
What do you do with the cats that you farm?
Well, I put them up in good homes or restaurants.
You donate them to restaurants to like search for mice or something?
Yeah, like mice protection or some places are known for cat meatballs.
Cat meatballs?
Yeah, apparently.
What, any restaurants we know?
Funny, and this is probably going to get me in trouble, but the vegan shawarma place?
No.
Yeah. It's not vegan and it's not shawarma.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That seems
it's all the ugly cats that I can't sell to regular people.
Oh my gosh. How long do you have them on the market before you deem you can't sell them?
I give them 24 hours.
Oof.
If I can't find a buyer, they're off to vegan shawarma.
You got to give a cat more than 24 hours. I mean, you can't.
I mean, if they're born on a Friday, they have the weekend.
Okay. Sometimes it takes a family a couple days to get their stuff in order to be able to come down and visit the cat.
That's why I have a countdown clock. So anytime I have a prospective buyer, I give them the countdown clock and I say, there you go. If you like it, let me know.
Have you ever had a family come and have their kitty gone?
Yeah. Well, I mean, one, it was really traumatizing for them because they were a little late. Their bus was delayed as always in the city.
Yeah.
And they're getting there just as the cat's leaving. And
this
guy's taking it to vegan shawarma. And so he's walking through the hallway and they hear the meow and the kids even recognize the meow of the cat.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. They're really that attached to it.
Yeah. And so they turn and is that Marvin?
Oh, Marvin the kitty.
Yeah. They named the kitty Marvin.
Oh, they had already named him. That's visited. So cute.
Yeah. Yeah. It was very cute. And then I'm like, yeah, that's Marvin. You guys are 3 minutes late. And the parents just looked at me. If looks could kill, I would have been so dead.
You would have been
so the kids all burst into tears.
Uh-huh.
And I said, you guys are 3 minutes late and I'm sorry, but that rules are rules.
Rules, yeah. Man. You got to follow rules. Well, that's a good lesson for the kids. Like I bet those kids now are 15 minutes early wherever they go for the rest of their lives.
Well, they were 15 minutes early to vegan shawarma.
Oh no.
And then they had lunch.
You sent them to.
Yeah.
But did they know?
Oh no, I didn't tell them.
You just said, I know you guys are sad. Let me send you to a local
gift,
place.
Yeah. I had a gift card. So I directed them there. Yeah. It was funny.
I don't know if that's super funny. It seems a little sad. Why not? I mean, with a 3 minutes difference. I mean, I know rules are rules, but you could have just released the cat.
Nope. Okay. Rules are rules.
Okay. Rules are rules. So 24 hours and then they're off to the cat meatball farm.
Mm.
Gosh. And what sort of money are you pulling in from this? Cause I mean, I'll say right now, you can really hear all the cats in here. We have a cat filter on this,
yeah.
But this is what the apartment sounds like without a microphone filter here. So how many cats would you say that are in here right now, Brian?
I mean, based on my math, 3,600. It's hard to tell. It's hard to hard to sleep, hard to wash your dishes, hard to go to the bathroom.
It really is. Gosh, there are so many cats.
Hard to walk. I have toxoplasmosis all over me.
Man alive.
My wife keeps having miscarriages. She's not even pregnant. And this toxoplasmosis just triggers miscarriages.
Of course it does. So yeah. She's just, instead of having her period, she like has...
She just instantly has a miscarriage.
Instantly, the second an egg comes close to dropping, it just...
Yeah, I wake every morning. I'm like, how'd you sleep? She's like, I just had another miscarriage. This is crazy.
That's so sad.
Yeah, so much toxoplasmosis.
Man, a lot. But it's worth it though. I mean, if you can make one family happy and or make some good cat meatballs, it's kind of all worth it.
Exactly. The smile on somebody's face when they're petting or eating a cat is just, you know, it's heartwarming.
That's what you do it for, man.
Yeah.
That's what you do it for.
Mostly, I mean, the money also helps, but it's also the smile on people's faces.
Okay. So in what order would you put your, like your top things that you get out of having your cat farm?
Well, I mean, money, if I'm being honest, to pay for the cat farm, because mm-hmm. it is expensive. Cats are finicky. They want high-end food. Litter's expensive.
Yeah.
And then I guess the happiness of watching somebody eat a cat meatball, because it gives me like a perverse thrill, I guess, in a way. Like I kind of like not knowing that they're eating cat and they don't know it.
So they think they're eating...
vegan shawarma.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I'm just like, sucker, double sucker.
Wow. And then third would be the look of joy on the kid's face from kid. Okay. Yeah,
love that.
Okay. You know, we learn a little bit more about you each episode, Brian, which I really appreciate.
And you too.
All right. We've got the VCR loaded up. Let me get this cat off. Get off of here. We have the VCR loaded up. Let's play the clip of your family. Are you excited to hear your family feud clip?
I did very poorly.
Oh, I'm sure you did great. I'm sure.
I know I did poorly.
No, okay. Don't. You're too. Yeah, because you're hard. You've always been hard on yourself. Let's listen to your clip on Family Feud. Is this when? At what point is this?
This was the family. My family had already won pretty much, and this was the fast money segment.
Oh, so you'd beaten the other family, and now this was your chance to win like the $20,000 or whatever.
Yeah, we beat the Stagels.
Oh, cool.
Ha ha, Stagels. Screw you.
Yeah.
So we beat the Stagels, and then it was my chance to add $25,000 to the tab.
Oh, this is great. Okay, let's take a listen.
Okay.
All you need is 1 point, and you and your family will go home with $25,000.
Oh, boy, oh, boy. Okay.
We're going to put 25 seconds on the clock.
Okay.
Time starts when I'm finished reading this first question. Here we go. We asked 100 married men, what's the one gift you want the most for your anniversary?
A new life.
Name a popular crayon color.
Vulcan blood green.
What's something to bring to an office Christmas party?
Vipers.
Okay. Name one of the Beatles.
Pass.
Name someone you'd invite to your child's 6th birthday party.
Henry Kissinger.
Name one of the Beatles.
Pass.
This is the only question left. Name one of the Beatles.
Yoko. Brenda.
That's your wife. Time's up.
Ooh. Yeah.
That's difficult to listen to.
Yeah, I told you I did terrible.
So you had 199 points and you couldn't get 1 point.
Yeah.
Name a Beatle.
What about him?
Okay, never mind. So, you know what? I see that this is embarrassing for you.
Very embarrassing. I did terrible.
I would like to give you a chance at redemption.
I would like to redemption.
That's not quite the way. Okay, forget it. Here is your chance. I'm going to read you some Family Feud questions that I found online.
Okay.
And this is your chance to show that you're actually really good at this. Okay.
I am good at this.
Oh, okay. So I'm going to just read you these. You've not heard these before.
Nope.
So here we go.
Hit me.
Okay. Name a reason you might get rid of an old family heirloom.
Columbia.
Tell me something many people do just once a week.
Wave.
Like wave with their hands?
Yeah.
Okay. Name a reason a person might wake up at 2 a.m.
Jazz.
Name something you might eat with a hamburger.
Harvey Fierstein.
Name something you haven't done since high school gym class.
Harvey Fierstein.
How much do you tip for good service?
3 inches.
Who is the most popular character on the sitcom Friends?
Whiskers.
Tell me something you can buy that costs a dollar or less.
A miracle.
Name a country that speaks Spanish.
Amerigway.
Name a liquid in your kitchen that you hope no one ever accidentally drinks.
Margaret.
Name something that breaks down.
My wife.
Name a famous wizard.
Wonder Woman.
We asked 100 men, if you were dating a woman, how much weight could she gain between dates without you noticing?
Nothing.
We're going to get letters. How many pairs of socks does a fast food worker wear in 1 week?
What's the question?
How many pairs of socks does a fast food worker wear in 1 week?
Two for the hands.
Name another word for book.
Kindle.
What is the most stressful thing in the life of a 25-year-old woman?
Stalker.
Name a specific piece of furniture that might be handmade.
Laser.
Tell me whose name a young man might have in his tattoo.
Wow.
Okay.
Unless he's upside down, then it's mom.
Name a character from, Brian, you got one.
What?
That was the first one in all those questions. Mom, the number one answer.
All right.
You're so good at this.
I am. I told you.
Man, the number one answer was 33.
Well, I said, wow, but if the guy's upside down, it's mom.
Well, yeah, and you wound up saying, "That's so, you got it. The judges gave you that one.
All right.
33 points, and your family would have had 232 points, and you would have won the $25,000.
Okay.
Great job.
Thank you.
You're really good at this.
Thanks.
Yeah. Wow.
Does that mean I get the $20,000 that I lost the first time around?
You know, I'm going to guess probably not.
Okay. There's a statute of limitations.
Yeah, that's what those are for.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But you could certainly petition the show.
You
could send a letter.
To Richard Dawkins.
Richard Dawson.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. He probably isn't with us anymore.
He retired.
He and Jack Welch are playing golf right now somewhere.
Oh, in the better place.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's my guess.
Dawkins... Who is Dawson? Dawson used to kiss everybody, remember?
That was
his thing. Like,
yes.
And on the lips, too.
Yes. I mean, he kissed.
He was like a lip kisser.
Yeah.
Which I don't think you could get away with these days. Plus, you probably wouldn't want to these days.
Right. I mean, you could win the South Carolina primary behaving that way, but you probably couldn't host a game show.
Right.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, ba, bum. I've got some news that you missed.
You don't know that. You're so presumptuous.
No. Don't get pissy with me, Jack.
How do you know I miss the news?
Because every day it's the same. The Trump news cycle is so overpowering that there's news items that just get knocked to page 23.
I guess that's true.
B23.
Mm-hmm.
Below the fold.
Yes.
As they say in the newspaper business.
Right.
So Trump makes a tweet and then suddenly the news cycle changes and you forget all this news. It falls through the cracks. Well, I find it. And I bring it to your attention and to the attention of the listeners.
That's
fantastic. I call them listeners. You call them viewers.
I do. I do mistakenly call them viewers almost every episode.
I know they listen and don't watch.
And I don't want to ever presume for you, our wonderful viewers, how you guys consume our product.
Right. Stare at the logo.
Exactly.
As you're driving.
That's right.
It's on your CarPlay.
Oh my gosh. We just lost another viewer.
I'm sorry about that.
Okay. I would love a story.
I've got news, Jack. Ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
All right. Finally, there's hope in the war against the coronavirus.
Ooh.
Scientists at the High Tech Media Lab at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology say that they have created a way to stop the spread of the virus known as COVID-19. Their solution? Healthtron 2020. Now, Healthtron 2020 is an autonomous droid that can approach potential victims of the virus without fear of infecting a human medical professional. Now, the advanced droid then tests for fever and takes a swab from the individual's cheek, which it can test for any trace of the virus in a mere 23 seconds.
Wow.
If the test result is positive, the infected individual is sprayed with an antibacterial foam, covered head to toe with 5 millimeters of plastic wrap, and brought to one of the portable incinerators that the government has been placing near major metropolitan areas.
Oh, that.
I like how when you laugh, you go away from the microphone. That's defeating the whole purpose. No.
I did laugh, but I'm concerned about that story. Yeah. I laughed because I did laugh, but I didn't want people to think that I was so callous.
Right.
Because I'm concerned.
Yeah. No. It's dramatic. Sure. It's different. It's kind of like Soylent Green, but we don't eat them.
Yeah. That should be getting more play.
Yeah. No. That's one of the stories that falls through the cracks because we were just so obsessed with the Trump news cycle.
I mean, I'm concerned. I feel like I kind of want to get my kids out of a metropolitan area.
Oh, they'll be fine unless, you know.
Unless he gets a sniffle?
Well, I mean, unless Healthtron is in the hood. I don't know how many Healthtrons they made. You know, and it's all in the naming, because Healthtron sounds very innocuous.
Yeah, I feel comfortable knowing that Healthtron is near. Healthtron 2020.
If it was Dytron, I'd be like,
right.
Second thoughts. But Healthtron, come on in.
I want to visit Healthtron and have him service my family.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe he will.
Well, let's
or she.
That.
I don't know how robots identify. All right. In other coronavirus news, Jack, Cleveland-based coronavirus energy drink will be changing its name after watching sales plummet over the past month. Michelle Myers, the spokeswoman for Impact Sports Drinks Incorporated, told reporters that they were devastated to have to change the name after spending so many years building up their brand, but that they had no choice after it began to be conflated with the contagious disease that has gotten so much negative global press. Myers said that the ad campaign with the tagline, "Enjoy a coronavirus before your workout," will be retired immediately, and that all existing supplies of the drink will be donated to shelters. Myers said that they had no plans to relaunch the drink in the near future and would instead focus on their line of vitamin gummies, Gonorrhea Chews.
All right. So this is sort of like when countries get the Super Bowl champion shirts of the team that lost.
Right.
So it's like, right. You know, they're
some
a bunch
Congo
of kids
with the, you know,
who thinks the Bills won 4 Super Bowls.
Sure. Yeah, they're really good at football.
God, those Buffalo Bills, they are great. That's, it's sort of like the actual AIDS candy that existed in the 1980s.
Right, AYDS.
Yes.
Yeah, lose weight with the help of AIDS.
That's right. That was a thing.
That was a legit tagline.
Yeah, YouTube that. That is a thing.
Lose weight. I lost weight with the help of AIDS.
Yay.
Yeah. AYDS, I remember. I have another story.
That's impossible.
It's true.
Two stories. You've crushed it. No one could find a third story.
I found a third story.
What?
That's slipped through the cracks once again.
May I hear it?
Yeah. Reuters is reporting that a 24-year-old Portland man is so desperately in need of attention that he commutes to work on a unicycle. Baron Wilders has several methods of getting to work available to him, but chooses the silly one-wheeled vehicle in an effort to seem whimsical and cool. Wilders told Reuters that, quote, anyone can ride a bicycle, but unicycles are much more difficult, and by virtue of riding one, that makes me stand out. I refuse to be boring, end quote. According to sources, Pamela Todd, a 25-year-old resident, witnessed Wilders riding down her street and allegedly told sources that she wouldn't, quote, touch him with a 10-foot unicycle.
That's very Pacific Northwest that she would even talk. Pamela Todd would say that in that way.
That's, a 10-foot unicycle.
Yeah.
That's how they talk up there.
Yeah, I guess so.
I've never been. It just sounds like a weird place.
Is that all the news I missed?
That is all the news you missed this week.
Well, that's a good cross way to find that stuff.
You know, that's what you do. You got to dig deep and you find it. It's there.
You defy my expectations every single time.
I know. It's sad because you don't learn. You have a terrible learning curve.
You defy my expectations every time you open your mouth and a bunch of stupid shit doesn't come out of it. That's every time it defies. It doesn't happen often, but when it does, you defy my expectations every time. Just a bunch of stupid, stupid shit that no one should say out loud. Those times when you don't do that, I'm like, wow, that's my boy.
You know what? Hurtful Magazine just called and wants to put you on the cover.
Cool. Oprah Magazine just called. O Magazine just called.
Yeah.
And they don't want to put you on the cover.
Wow. It's because I'm a pro-vaccination person. That big idiot. Hi, Jack.
Hey, Brian. So I went on iTunes the other day to look up to see how many reviews our viewers or listeners, as you might call them, have given our show.
Okay.
To see and to read what sort of like nice reviews. Maybe some have taken a couple minutes out to write for us because they know that helps a podcast.
It sure does.
And it's sort of their way of saying thank you for all the free content that we provide.
That's correct.
And so I did a search for our show.
Okay.
And for some reason, because your name is shorter, I decided just to search by Brian Sack.
Okay.
And I couldn't believe how many podcasts popped up.
Yep.
Brian, I thought this was your only podcast. I thought we were exclusive.
No.
So you have so many other podcasts out there. By my count, I saw over 200 podcasts. It's almost like the cat farm of podcasts.
Yes.
I wrote down some of the podcasts that you produce and create.
Right.
And I was wondering if I could ask you about some of your podcasts.
Well, of course. I love producing podcasts.
Well, so if you have over 200 podcasts, how many podcasts do you make in a day?
13 to 20.
Okay. Walk me through a day of making 13 to 20 podcasts in a day.
I get up at 4 o'clock
in the
morning.
Okay.
Then I make myself a protein coffee.
Okay.
So you get your standard black coffee, the protein in it.
How do you get your protein in the coffee?
Just a corned beef.
Okay. Okay. So it's a corned beef coffee.
Corned beef coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And then I add.
Do they sell those at Starbucks now?
No. There's a coffee shop in the meatpacking district. It's also a slaughterhouse.
Oh.
And so they make this corned beef coffee and it's delish.
Yeah. And it's really a great way to get your protein.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're jacked up on your protein and your caffeine.
Yep.
So now you have the energy to make podcasts. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. So now, 5:30 in the morning, I fire up the podcast machine.
Mm-hmm. How much money do you say you make off of your 200 podcasts?
If adding them all together, make more than others.
Yeah. Adding them all together.
You know, there's a huge disparity in how much each of the podcasts.
That would make sense.
Some are very niche.
Yep.
And some aren't. Some appeal to a huge audience.
That makes sense.
Some appeal to a small audience.
Yep.
So all combined.
Yep.
38 to 50 grand.
That's not
dollars.
Bad. Oh gosh.
But a week.
Oh, okay. So you're, and some months you get almost $200 a month.
Yeah.
If it's a really good month.
Yeah.
So that's a wide range, and that's I just want to confirm that's cumulative.
Yes.
All your podcasts will pull in that sort of money.
Altogether. Yep.
How do you, what's your biggest earner?
Ironically, it's the niche one.
Oh.
Cause you'd think it was the one that appeals to a broad audience.
Yeah.
Which is the Hamburger Report. Well, I just talk about hamburgers because I figure like who doesn't love hamburgers,
yeah.
Except if you're, a vegetarian.
Right.
But the niche one, it's about toenail grooming.
Oh, okay.
And it's just like tips on grooming your toenails.
Uh-huh.
Which is very niche.
Yeah, I would think so.
And really it's only 3 episodes. It's just like, clip them, keep them clean and pull the sock hair from under the nails.
Those 3 things. And then you retired the podcast. So how is that making money for you?
It's just Amazon affiliate links.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you send people off to get their clippers.
They get
their
nail clippers. Yeah.
Okay.
So there's a lot of money in nail clippers. I didn't know that.
So that's a big business. So that's where you get your most money.
The bulk of it. Yeah.
The bulk of your $38.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. And so would you mind terribly if we just played a clip of the Hamburger Report?
Sure. Anything to add more work. This is a Wendy's hamburger. As you can't see, it's square. The bun isn't square, but the burger is square. But the burger fits underneath the bun. The bun is enough to cover the square burger. Thank you for listening to my podcast. Please subscribe.
Wow. That's okay. Okay. And that's the most popular one you have.
Yeah.
Would you mind reading, just if you open up your Hamburger Report link, could you just read one of the reviews? Just pick just a random review. If you could just read one of the reviews of your podcast, The Hamburger Report.
Yeah.
Thanks, man. Load it up.
Okay, here we go. It is, that's a 1-star.
Oh, gosh. Go ahead. We'll read it.
WTF. So way too fancy. No, way too.
Oh, that makes sense.
Wait.
I mean, if you're talking about Wendy's square hamburgers, it probably is too fancy.
Who is this idiot and what is he talking about? ? I mean, I'm Brian and I'm talking about hamburgers. I mean, people just don't listen.
Yeah.
This is another 1-star.
Oh.
Complete waste of time. Some moron ranting about hamburgers in a dull monotone. Kill yourself. Wow.
Oh, geez.
Jeez.
Wowie. Wow.
Oh, boy.
Don't kill yourself.
5 stars. There we go.
Hey.
That's from JK. Guy is a moron. What's JK?
Just kidding.
Oh. Oh, I see. The 5 stars is a joke.
Yeah. It's a sarcastic 5 stars. It's really like 0 stars.
Okay.
Oh, well, Brent.
That's
shoot.
A few reviews.
I wish now... Knowing what I know now, I wish I hadn't made you read that out loud because I can see in your eyes the defeat.
I might retire the hamburger podcast.
Look, they're probably hot dog guys. Is there enough time in a day to record 13 to 20 podcasts?
Sure, yeah.
What sort of research and work do you put into each one?
You don't really, you can't. when you have that kind of output, you've got to what I call minimize the research and effort.
Okay. So if you were giving like a TED talk, that's would be on the like minimize
your research time, minimize the effort, tone it down, just get right into the podcast.
Okay.
Don't worry about the little details.
Mm-hmm.
Like what, you know, what's going to be in it.
Mm-hmm.
Just do it. Say it.
Just start speaking. You would say
you start talking.
Do you ever sometimes start speaking and accidentally like put something about, pogo sticks on your hamburger report?
Oh yeah. Things that, you know, I forget which podcast I'm recording.
Right. Cause you're just crapping it out.
Yeah. And I might be talking about like, you know, how to lower your utility bills.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, and I post it. And then I realized that that was for leopard enthusiasts. That was my leopard enthusiast podcast. So now everybody's confused. They're like, I'm not trying to lower my utility bills. I want to know more about leopards.
Of course. Gosh.
Yeah. And cheetahs.
Oh, okay.
The cheetah one too. Cause cheetahs and leopards are different.
Oh, I bet. Now, and do you have one? So you have one for leopards, one for cheetahs, and then do you have a leopards versus cheetahs podcast?
No, well, I have leopards and cheetahs versus the world.
Oh my, okay, so that's that, okay.
Which is a fictitious podcast.
Oh, it's,
and
it's okay.
It's based on a theory I have that leopards and cheetahs will one day unite and take on humanity.
What, where does that belief come from?
It was a acid tablet that somebody had given me and made me just have this vision.
Okay. So you think that brought clarity to your mind?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like an interdimensional thing.
Okay. And so you decided to take some bad acid and then make a podcast off of your vision.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Cool.
Yeah. I mean, there's 44 people who like it.
Okay. Well, good. I mean, good luck with that one.
Thank you.
I was wondering if I could ask you about some of your podcasts.
You can ask me about any of my podcasts.
Okay. Serial.
Just don't ask me about that one because that's in litigation.
Oh, what?
Because there's another podcast called Serial.
Okay. But yours is spelled C-E-R-E-A-L.
Yeah, I know. And it's about Serial.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's their problem?
That it's a homophone.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, they're homophonic. And I hate
homophobes.
Yeah.
So I was wondering if I could ask you about another of your podcasts.
Of course.
Dr. Brian.
Dr. Brian.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think as the name suggests, I offer medical advice to listeners.
Oh, cool.
And
that's helpful.
It is. And, you know, I cover a wide variety of medical advice and also psychological advice.
Oh, my gosh. That's great. How many? So you have your degrees in both, you know, medical and psychological degrees?
I have two doctorates.
Oh, that's great. In what?
Huh?
In what?
Well, there one's in general medicine.
Okay.
And the other one is general psychology.
Okay. General.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, like it's a broad spectrum. Yeah. The two doctorates.
Where, from what medical school?
It's called the University of Wexford at Zurich.
I know a lot of colleges. I guess I don't know that one.
It's an online course.
Mm-hmm.
And the degree is based on life experience.
Oh.
They operate out of a mailboxes, et cetera, in Serbia.
Oh, okay. interesting. And it's just based on life experience. So you got your diploma based on like, well, I've had strep throat twice and I've raised two kids so far.
Yeah.
So, and you get a degree?
You fill out a little form. You tell them your experience with medicine and then you mail it in to Miroslav, and then he either approves it or doesn't approve it. In my case, I got approved after, and then you send the $950 check.
Oh, okay. And then you get a degree.
Yeah.
Huh. And are you transparent about that with your listeners?
I'm a doctor. Yeah. I let them know right away. Dr. Brian.
No, I'm sure. Okay. Because I listened to part of that and you gave advice about, your steps to be cancer free.
Yeah.
Can you sort of go over that again? Cause I would just love to get a taste of what it's like to listen to an episode of Dr. Brian. So, you know, cancer free lifestyle.
Sure. Where's the cancer?
Well, I don't want to have the cancer yet. So, yeah.
Oh, you want to avoid cancer?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, you buy essential oils.
Okay.
And you rub them all over your body.
All right.
If you have a microwave?
I do.
Then don't use it.
Okay.
Let your kids or wife use it.
Okay.
You stay away from it.
Okay.
Because that emits microwaves.
Okay.
That can penetrate your cells.
Uh-huh.
And start tumors.
The microwaves start tumors.
Yeah.
So that's what you say in your podcast is microwaves start tumors.
That was like episode 38, I think, was microwaves start tumors.
And why would you have my kids doing that for me?
Because there's a cancer risk and you're just telling me you want to be cancer free.
I guess that's a good point. Okay. I guess that's so good advice.
Be like, hey, honey, would you go make daddy some scrambled eggs in the microwave?
What sort of low rent life do you think I have? Scrambled eggs in the microwave. Yeah, that's the best way. That's how they're best. That is how they're best.
Free range scrambled eggs in the microwave.
I imagine you've come up with, I imagine coronavirus has been a hot topic on your podcast over the last month.
What is that?
Oh, coronavirus. It's sort of the global almost pandemic that is sort of sweeping the world.
Like Boxcar Willie? Taking the world by storm?
No, this is more of it's COVID-19. It's a disease. Boy, your face right now is just a blank slate.
Not familiar with this at all.
Yeah, so it's coronavirus. It's the thing. It's sort of like the flu. It has a 2% fatality rate.
Is it a pathogen?
Pathogen.
Pathogen.
Yeah. Again, you pronounce it as what?
Pat Hogan.
It's not a Pat Hogan. Pat Hogan is that's a fella. That's Hulk Hogan's younger brother.
Huh.
No, pathogen is it's a disease.
Can kill you.
Yeah.
Be careful.
Exactly. A pathogen.
Yeah.
So Dr. Brian. Okay. Very good. I was wondering if you could talk about your podcast, Pod Save the Queen.
Pod Save the Queen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it is a podcast obviously geared towards the Canadian royalty.
Really?
Yeah.
That was not obvious to me.
Well, they have a queen.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've seen any of Canadian money.
Yeah, I have. I have.
It's kind of plasticky.
Yep.
But it's got a queen on it.
Yeah, Queen Elizabeth.
Yeah, that's their queen. Mm-hmm. So I'm doing a whole podcast about keeping the monarchy in business.
Okay. What are some of the tips to help keep the monarchy in business? Here's your chance to plug your ideals.
Be born in the monarchy.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be quite honest. I'm doing this podcast because I'm trying to get in with the queen. And I'm hoping she'll make me like a knight.
Okay.
Because at least I think if I'm a knight, then I at least get a lot of land and a horse.
Okay. Well, that's not bad.
Yeah. That's all I want.
But I mean, are you trying to eventually bet her and maybe become the king?
Yeah. I have an agreement with my wife that, you know, if I can marry the queen, then I can go ahead and do it.
Have you?
Then I can have her beheaded. And then take my real wife to be my queen. So it's kind of a Game of Thrones thing. It's a very modern Game of Thrones thing.
It feels modern.
So my goal is to marry Queen Elizabeth.
Yep.
Have her beheaded like Henry VIII did.
Mm-hmm.
And then remarry.
Okay. And you're definitely going to remarry your current wife.
Yeah. I mean, I would because it would look bad if I didn't.
Right. That would look bad.
Yeah.
Yep.
But then, you know, I'll have her put in the tower and beheaded. And then I'm going to marry another person.
Okay. I mean, you could just save her. I mean, because then your kids would lose their mom. You could just skip that step. You don't necessarily have to marry your current wife if you're just going to behead her. Maybe just sort of give her a get out of jail free card.
Well, I kind of want to pattern my life after Henry VIII.
I see.
It was Catherine of Aragon.
Uh-huh.
He divorces.
Right.
And then he marries Anne Boleyn,
yep.
But then he beheads her.
Yeah.
Then the third one dies.
Okay.
So I guess if I divorce my wife,
yep.
Then I marry the second wife. I have her beheaded.
Yep.
Okay. Then I have to make my wife die. I can't behead her. She has to die in childbirth.
Oh gosh.
So I guess that's the plan.
So the plan would just be to give her, is just to put a large baby inside of her.
Yeah, but a baby with sharp objects so that he causes a lot of internal bleeding. Then she dies in childbirth. And then I got to get remarried. I'm going to divorce her.
Okay.
And then I'm going to get remarried again. I'm going to behead that one for betrayal.
How did she betray you?
It wasn't really a betrayal.
Okay.
It was, he was under the impression she was a virgin when he married her, but she actually wasn't. She had been with some farm dude. Okay. So of course the natural thing to do is have them both executed.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, for being filthy. I mean, you can say filthy whores on a podcast, right?
They, back then they said humpy.
Oh, they said humpy.
And it ended with an E. H-U-M-P-Y-E. Humpy.
Okay. Filthy humpies?
Yes. Humpies.
Well, Dr. Brian would say, I think, that you could get a lot of diseases from filthy humpies.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Herps?
Yeah. No, you don't want the herps. So, okay. Why, if I was modeling my life after Henry VIII, I would just take the, like, having lots of ladies around and being king and having nice stuff. I wouldn't necessarily need to do so much killing. Right?
To each their own is what I always say.
You do always say that. You say that a lot.
Yep.
Usually when you're doing something reprehensible and I ask you why you do it, and you say that to me all the time.
Yeah. That's why I have all the accessories posters that say to each their own.
You do. It's amazing. The, this apartment is basically all posters and cat excrement.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Real quickly though, I just would like to backtrack on your plan to eventually marry Queen Elizabeth.
Yes.
Who I think we all know.
Queen of Canada.
You know, what's neat is that you should Google her because she's also Queen of England.
No kidding.
Yeah.
So, ooh.
Yeah, right?
Then I could be king of that.
Yeah, king of that. Yeah, for sure.
That's great. Except they're not part of the EU anymore. So I'd have to get a, I can't stay in France for long periods of time.
Uh-huh.
That's a bummer.
Man, does it make you want to rethink your...
No, I want to marry Queen Elizabeth.
Okay. So what's your plan? How does a commoner...
Yeah, I don't like to think of myself as a commoner.
I know you don't. What do you think of yourself as?
King Junior.
A King Junior. Yeah. Okay. How does a King Junior such as yourself get to the point where he can comfortably date the Queen of England and Canada?
Well, it's all with the royalty. No, it's all about protocol.
Mm-hmm.
And there are just certain ways of doing things. So you can't just walk up to her and be like, "Hey, lady, I know you're really old, but you're looking fine to me." You can't do that.
You can't.
You wouldn't talk like that.
Yeah.
And you'd have a hard time just walking up to her.
Absolutely.
Because they have all these people with really fuzzy hats.
Yes.
We're going to be like, "Yo, stop."
Yep.
And you can't get close
to her. Yeah, they always say that.
So you kind of got to work your way into the system.
Okay.
So I've been taking butler lessons. And I basically want to become a really good butler.
Okay.
And then I'm going to get in. And then so it'll be like, Brian, the queen needs her tea.
Mm-hmm. Good.
So I'll walk in, I mean, your majesty, and I do all, they teach you to bow and do all this polite stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'll place her tea and I'll, she has it a specific way and I'll pour the tea, add the sugar cubes and stir it. And then I'll just look at her knowingly and just be like, "You think of what I'm thinking?" And just kind of just freeze and just stare at her.
Okay.
And then wait for the response.
What do you think the response will be?
I'm hoping.
Mm-hmm.
I think I do.
Okay.
But with an accent.
With a queen lady accent.
Yeah.
Wow.
Or she takes off her pants.
Does she wears a lot of trousers?
I think indoors she probably does.
Probably.
Outside she probably has to wear those big flowy robes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Queen stuff.
The dirty version of this.
Yeah.
Is that you serve the queen her tea.
Yeah.
You stir it up. You give her a look. She knows that look. And immediately capitulates and gives you herself sexually right that, there in the tea room.
That is the fantasy. Yes. Okay. That's the dream.
Now, is that the dream or is that the plan?
That's the plan.
Okay.
Which is also a dream.
Okay.
And then, you know, once we do the deed, I'll be like, I'll look at my watch and then I'm going to look at her.
Okay.
And I'm going to be like, "Time's a ticking." And then I look at her and I'm like, "You're not getting any younger, if you know what I mean."
Oh, Jesus.
I think it's time we kick this up a notch.
Okay. So you want to take the relationship to
wedding.
The next level.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wedding.
Uh-huh.
And then I want to do something like a Harry and Meghan Markle thing, like a big, you know, romantic wedding fairy tale kind of thing.
Okay. Well, that's sweet. So you really want to sweep her off her feet.
Yeah.
Okay. At this point, she's probably going to be pushing 100.
Yeah.
How do you factor that into your sex life? I can say that. I can say that on a podcast. Your sex life with the queen.
She's probably done everything, if you know what I mean. So, I mean, it's really up to, I'll be like, "Just what do you suggest?"
Uh-huh.
Just ask her what she wants to do.
Right.
It's really more about what she wants, her needs.
Are you being a generous lover? Is this you just trying to become king? Like what?
No, I'll make sure she's happy.
Uh-huh. What's the best way to sexually satisfy the queen?
You never see the royalty pictures. They're always holding like an orb in one hand, yes, and a scepter in the other.
Absolutely. Of course.
Well, the orb vibrates.
Oh my gosh.
And so does the scepter.
Gosh. It's so cool to be able to talk to someone who knows so much about the royalty.
Yeah. Well, I've studied it.
Good luck with that plan.
Thank you.
And that's all based on a seldom listened to podcast called Pod Save the Queen.
Yes.
Wow. I have gone from not very impressed by you to incredibly impressed by you. Incredibly impressed and frightened.
Good.
Yeah. I was wondering if I could ask you about your podcast, Brian Sack Presents Oprah Winfrey.
You could. Yeah, that's just me basically telling you about the world of Oprah.
Mm-hmm.
So interviewing Oprah as soon as she gets back to me and talking about, you know, what she's up to, what books she recommends, things like that.
So you're really cashing in on that Oprah Winfrey name.
Yes.
Now, you said there a second ago that as soon as she gets back to you, is this not endorsed by Oprah? Is she not a part of this?
Not yet. And we're only at episode 87.
Okay.
And, you know, so I'm kind of, you know, what I'm doing is I'm building up like a repertoire of podcasts for her.
Okay.
So when she finally sees my email, she'll be like, oh my God, this guy's really into me. And then kind of listen and then she'll make contact.
I see. And
it's,
what
breaking the ice is what I call it.
Okay. That's what you call it. What email address do you have for Oprah?
I mean, I assume it was Oprah@O.com.
Mm-hmm. So you just sent that. Okay.
Yeah.
Sure. What do you talk about in the 87 episodes that you've done so far about Oprah without Oprah?
It's mostly like, you know, if Oprah were here,
mm-hmm,
she'd probably say this.
Okay.
And so it's a lot of, you know, we'll pick a different topic every week and then I'll be like, oh, you know, and if she were here, my guess is she would feel this way about.
I'm going to give you one right now off the top of my head.
Okay.
The topic is planning for a wedding.
She would say that, you know, when you plan a wedding, you've got to pick a date.
Oh,
so like the big, that's a huge problem.
Yep.
You don't pick a date.
That's so Oprah.
You don't pick a date. How do I know when you're getting married?
Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You tell me you're getting married. Great. But like when is that? So you have to pick a date. And then once you pick a date, you have to go there on that date. You don't show up, you're not getting married.
Right.
So these are some of the tips that she would offer.
God, such great Oprah advice. Mm-hmm. And so you've sent emails, any other attempts to contact her, get in touch?
Yeah, I've tried letters,
mm-hmm,
bunnygram.
What's a bunnygram?
It's like a Easter bunny costume guy shows up with an Easter basket and then the eggs have little notes inside saying, please call me.
Uh-huh.
He does like a mystery striptease type thing as a bunny.
Why? Just deliver the messages and
don't make it
weird.
It's a bunnygram.
Is it? Okay.
And then he throws the eggs.
Didn't follow the rules. He throws the eggs?
Throws the eggs at her.
He just pelt Oprah Winfrey with eggs.
Yeah, he's like, these are for you, and they're plastic eggs.
Is he naked at this point?
He wears a Speedo. He has to. It ends with a Speedo.
Okay.
Otherwise, it's illegal.
Right.
But he throws the plastic eggs at her, and they break open with the notes.
Okay.
And my hope is, you know, she picks up the note, reads the note, and says, "Who is this guy? I need this guy in my life."
Right. That's your hope.
Yeah.
Okay. Man alive, bunnygrams.
Bunnygram.
How often will you send a bunnygram to Oprah?
I've been doing it weekly for 3 years.
We're talking about 150, between 150, 160 bunnygrams.
Yeah. And a lot of money.
I bet.
And a lot of restraining orders on most of the bunny people in the city. Like pretty much there's a restraining order on almost all the dancing bunny people in the city.
Yeah. God, what an industry that is.
Yeah, it's huge. It's the cornerstone of the New York economy. Nobody knows that.
Yeah, I guess not. Why is Oprah still answering the door at this point? She hears that ding dong every Tuesday at 4:00. She's got to know.
She doesn't learn. Her learning curve is terrible.
Maybe she's just an optimist.
You know, they say Oprah springs eternal.
is that what the saying is?
I think it is.
I've been saying it wrong for a long time.
Yeah, a lot of people have.
Huh. Well, gee whiz, Brian, I'm so glad we talked about this.
Yeah,
thank you.
Too.
Yeah. Hey, Brian, I wanted to ask you about your podcast, Talkin' Baseball.
Yep.
Seems simple enough. Is it as simple as it appears?
When I say talking, it's mostly asking questions.
Okay.
Like, I want people to talk to me about baseball.
Okay.
So I'm trying to, it's supposed to be a conversation between me and people who know what baseball is.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Yeah. So I'm like, what's the deal with this? Why does this happen?
What are bases?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Why is he doing this? Why is the crowd screaming? What is that, good or bad?
Uh-huh.
What are they saying when the guy's talking to the pitcher? Why does the guy keep flipping them gang signs? You know, there's so many things.
It's a kind of complex game.
I guess.
So the podcast is just you asking questions about baseball. You like watch a little bit of baseball, get confused.
Yeah.
And then just ask a lot of questions.
Yeah.
Do you have guests on the show?
No.
So it's just a confused man.
Yeah.
Asking rudimentary baseball questions.
I wouldn't. I mean, that's not how I would slug it. My slug would be like, you know, talking baseball, and then the slug would be like, you know, all the sports talk that matters or something like that.
Yeah, I bet you get a lot of sports fans.
Yeah.
I mean, that's millions of dollars in something like that.
No.
No?
Not yet. It seems like a lot of the answers are sarcastic. I said, you know, why does the guy get running around all the bases?
Uh-huh.
And nobody's trying to stop him.
Right.
And then.
Well, he probably hit a home run.
See, I don't know that. The answer I got from somebody was because your mama's ringing the bell.
Oh.
So, which I feel like is a sarcastic answer.
Do you think so?
Because it's got a your mama in it.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a giveaway.
So.
And then last one.
Sure.
I think this is a smart move because true crime podcasts do really well.
Absolutely. They're huge.
And so your podcast is called Murder Time.
Yes.
I didn't bother to listen to it. No offense.
So we'll go back to a murder case. Some guy in Cleveland, his wife disappears. Police suspect him, but she's missing.
Yep.
So they start doing the investigation and they find, oh, he went to the hardware store. He bought a shovel. He bought bags of cement.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, now it's a little suspicious. So they get a search warrant. They go to his house. They go to the basement and they find, oh, interesting. He's got it used to be a dirt basement floor. Now he's got a cement basement floor.
Yep.
Suspicion. They run like a ground penetrating radar. And sure enough, they find a body buried under this concrete. Okay.
Okay.
He's caught. He goes to jail for the rest of his life.
Yep.
So we analyze, okay, how did he screw this up?
Yep.
And get caught?
Mm-hmm.
So, well, one, he went to the local hardware store.
Okay.
He paid with a credit card.
Yep.
He bought a shovel. He bought concrete. I mean, hell, and he put in a new concrete floor.
Yep.
So how can we revisit this crime so that he can commit it and get away with it?
Wow.
And so that's how we go over crimes, you know, throughout history where people have been rightfully sloppy. Caught
uh-huh.
and prosecuted.
So you want to correct mistakes?
Yes.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Do you get a lot of listeners who maybe send in questions to your show?
Yeah, it's like we get a lot of questions.
Okay. Like, yeah. Like what's your like listener mailbag like?
They're like, would you do me a favor and Google tasteless poisons?
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, email those to this address because I'm afraid to Google it myself based on what I told them.
That's great. Yeah. They're really learning.
So they're listening. So I said, whatever you do, don't Google how, you know, tasteless poisons because that's on your record. They're going to know. So I'll do it for you and then send it to you through an anonymous email address.
It's almost like you're providing them a service at that point.
I can tell. I got an email the other day and it just said, thank you, I'm single now. And then there was a wink emoji.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So the guy divorced his wife?
He didn't give me any detail. I said, do you want to come on the show? And he's just like, you know, LOL.
Uh-huh. Did you Google the guy?
Yes. His wife's missing.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. But he was on TV, you know, begging for her to come back safely.
Oh, man. I hope she's all right.
Yeah.
Any sense as to where she went?
I have a feeling.
Go ahead. Tell me. This isn't that podcast.
I don't want to lose a listener.
I understand. I mean, do you charge money for the service of like, you know, Googling tasteless poisons?
No, but we you know, the podcast makes money through advertising.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What sort of advertising do you get?
Tim's Shovels, which is an anonymous shovel company.
Oh, okay.
You can order shovels through them.
Uh-huh.
And they'll send you shovels.
That's
anonymously.
Smart.
Yeah. They don't keep your credit card information.
Oh, that's great. So it's a one time and then they just, though, that's smart. And the variety of shovels is...
They have crawl space shovels in case you don't have a lot of room underneath your house.
Okay.
Then they have longer shovels if you've got a property and maybe like a backyard, you have a little more leverage. They have whisper shovels.
Oh, what is the whisper shovel?
They're just quieter.
Okay.
So if you're like in a tight packed neighborhood and you need to be in your back garden, but you don't want to make a lot of shovel noise.
Yep.
And then there's the SBS.
Oh, what's, I can't figure out what's SBS.
Skull bashing shovel.
Oh, golly.
Yeah. It's a harder metal and it's meant to really fracture and then dig.
Fracture the ground?
No, it's a skull fracturing shovel. And we don't ask questions like, what do you need that for? I don't want to know.
It's not your business.
No. That was questionable material. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast. Make sure to review the podcast. Make sure to visit qmpodcast.com for episodes, show notes, and bonus material. This episode of Questionable Material has been brought to you by Tim's Shovels. For that special person in your life, it's Tim's Shovels. Use promo code QMPODCAST for 10% off. Your wife's going to say, ow.